We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we have got a great show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we will be featuring a rebroadcast of an interview with Manus Friedman, famed author, lecturer, academician, wrote a book called The Joys of Intimacy. In the second half of the hour, we will be talking about Passover, as there is no portion of the week this week. It is precluded by the holiday of Passover, and believe me, there is what to talk about. We have some very interesting insights. We've got a great story at the end of the hour. Just stay tuned for that one. This is going to be like mind-blowing. Lots of music, many of it, most of it Passover-themed. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. An Arab woman from Tulkarm, armed with a knife, attacked a security guard who was checking the bus she traveled on to Jerusalem. No one was hurt. Police are looking for the woman. Omar Barghouti, founder of the BDS movement, was denied entry to the U.S. as he tried to board a plane at Ben-Gurion Airport. Barghouti, who lives in Israel, was invited to speak at college campuses around the U.S. by the American Arab Institute. In a reversal of a 2018 policy announcement, Airbnb will list West Bank settlements on its website. The policy change came after two federal court settlements between the vacation rental company and two groups of American Jewish plaintiffs. Nothing like telling people what they got to do. Ariel University in the West Bank was indeed granted accreditation for its medical school. This is something I've been going back and forth between the Education Ministry and the Interior Ministry. There are now seven medical schools in Israel. Scientists on Earth, most people heard this, but it's wait to the tagline at the end. Scientists on Earth lost contact with the Israeli lunar lander Bereshit, and it crashed onto the moon's surface, ending its mission. The privately funded mission cost more than $100 million, and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who was there watching, promised that Israel would try again. The head of the Israeli Space Authority called the mission a success, as there is now an Israeli flag on the moon. That's definitely a half-full type of attitude. A Washington State man who will not be named, because I do not name terrorist people who try to do these things, was charged with two felonies for posting plans on Facebook to commit a mass shooting against Jewish targets and selfies of the Nazi salute. He was not, however, charged with a hate crime. In other news, 43 animals from the Gaza Zoo, this is not the first time this happened, 43 animals from the Gaza Zoo were transferred to an animal refugee in Gaza. The emaciated animals were living in squalid conditions at the Gaza Zoo. And finally, South Africa downgraded its embassy in Tel Aviv to a liaison office. The move comes in protest to Israel not making peace with the Palestinians, and that's South Africa's loss. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Rabbi Manus Friedman, noted author and lecturer, just came out with a book, The Joy of Intimacy. How are you today, Manus?
Thank God.
Good to hear. Okay. Let me ask you. Intimacy seems to be your thing. And this is a brand new book about intimacy. And there's lots of books about intimacy. And you've even written books about intimacy. So what's new in human behavior, what's going out in the cosmos, whatever, that we have the joy of intimacy?
Yeah, there are many books written on relationships, but they never really get down to the definition of what it means to be intimate and for two people to kind of merge into this bond that marriage is supposed to produce. And I noticed that this is a very serious, it's reached serious proportions. When happily married couples, functional marriages, they have no complaints, they're doing great, everything's fine, and yet each of them will admit that at moments they feel all alone in the world. Now, that's not supposed to happen. The first thing that changes when you get married is that you're no longer alone in the world. In fact, the Torah says, therefore a man should leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife to become one. So you're no longer alone in the world. That's the fundamental, bare minimum result of being married. So trying to figure out why that's happening. What is this aloneness that we're all suffering from? And I read in Wall Street Journal, I think it was, that in England, the health department opened a special branch to deal with the problem of loneliness.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because loneliness.
The Minister of Loneliness.
Yeah. Because when you feel alone, I guess your immune system crashes or something, and then you become vulnerable to every passing disease and illness. So they're actually spending a lot of money to heal this, because it's the root of many, many problems. So why is it not happening? I can understand if a couple don't get along. You know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. What do you expect?
Mm-hmm.
But when they do get along and they're happily married and they're still alone in the world, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem to me that this is something earth-shattering or a new problem. I mean, I'm reminded, you wouldn't know such things, but I know that when I was a kid, there was a Beatles lyric, a lyric from a Beatles song that said, "She's leaving home after living alone for so many years." So that was like 1970 about then. So the problem of loneliness has always been, I mean, it's one of the seven major themes in literature is alienation and loneliness. I mean, it's discussed in the Iliad by, you know, and we're going back millennia. So.
So you're just making the problems.
Yeah, it's like this is an older problem than we're making. This isn't just because, I mean, the idea of commitment might be because Woodstock grew up, but the idea of people being alone, even in relationships, doesn't seem to be like anything new, but maybe you got a new twist on how to deal with it. That might be worth talking about. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I think that people are so social. We have so many friends, we have so many contacts, we have so many likes on our online. We travel, we meet people. I don't think we're lonely. and yet we are alone. So we've tried desperately to fix that by being more open, more available, more vulnerable, and all we're doing is getting hurt. And the problem is not getting solved. So I think the real solution, and it's been working really dramatically, is that people have to switch from relating to each other because of the things we see in each other and really connect just person to person. So, for example, a man says, I love everything about my wife. So I ask him, but do you love her? He says, I love everything about her. I said, that's nice, but do you love her? He says, what about her? I said, no, not about her. Do you love her? He says, I don't know what you're talking about. I think there's where the problem lies. You can be married to many things about someone without really touching or reaching the person himself.
Okay.
And in fact, we don't even know what that means. If you take all things away, what's left? You're so focused on things. So if a guy says, I married you for your money, everybody would say, come on, that's ridiculous. In fact, you didn't marry her for her money. You married the money. You were never married to her. So look at what's happening in the relationships. If we fall out of love, then I don't understand what you're doing in my house. What are you doing here? I married the love, and all I have is you?
Okay.
So if you marry someone for their money, you're not marrying someone, you're marrying the money. So here's the shocker. If I marry you for love, is that any better? If I marry you for love, what am I married to? I'm married to love, not to you. Even religiously, people serve God, worship God, believe in God, because God is love. If God is love, then love is God. So are you worshiping God or are you worshiping love? Or has love become God? So I think in America, we worship love. We die for it, we kill for it, we do everything in the name of love.
Okay, so let me just jump in. If you're just tuning in, our guest today is Manus Friedman, written a book called The Joy of Intimacy. So, Manus, what do you propose then? Are there exercises in the joy of intimacy that will then propel people to love each other rather than loving something about them or even loving the concept of being in love?
Well, the first thing is we have to remove the love. Love is getting in the way.
I'm going to be real glib right now, but right now what's going through my head is the scene in Fiddler on the Roof where she turns to him and says, do you love me? Or he says to her. I mean, that's like, you know, they've been living for 25 years and the whole concept of love never even existed, but they were definitely, and I don't know if you saw Fiddler, but they were definitely a loving couple. They were love with each other. Yeah, as the song ends, I do, you know, so then if we remove the love, then what are we doing?
Okay, so I think that's a perfect example. He says, Tevye says, do you love me? And Golda says, for 25 years I've washed your clothes and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So he asks her about love, and she says, I do the laundry. What she's really saying, and this is the wisdom of the writer, what she's really saying is, what are you asking? Do I love you? Meaning, am I giving you my love? For 25 years, I give myself to you. You have me. I'm all yours. And all you want to think about is love? That's childish. So she's really the mature one. Tevye is kind of a childlike guy. So this is the perfect example for, we have each other. Do we love everything about each other? Maybe not. Well, not today, anyway. So today I don't like you particularly, but you're mine and I am yours. And those words are so much more powerful than I love you. I love you is fickle, it's flimsy, compared to the experience of being mine, being yours. And that part our grandparents had. People say, no, grandparents, you don't know that they were happily married. They just couldn't get divorced because divorce wasn't acceptable. They may have been miserable. And the whole point is, they may have been miserable, but they wouldn't give each other up for anything. They had each other, and they didn't like many things about each other. And we turned it around. I got to like everything about you, or I don't need you at all. And that's why they were not alone, we are alone. So the first thing is, we got to stop marrying love. The second thing is, we got to stop marrying pleasure. I've heard that the experts are now admitting that they made a terrible mistake by emphasizing pleasure. How to get more pleasure out of the relationship? How to get more pleasure out of the bedroom? How to get maximum pleasure from your physical intimacy? And they now realize we don't need more pleasure. Our generation has more pleasure than any generation of the past. We don't need more pleasure because we have chocolate. All year round, we have chocolate. What we need in our relationships, they say now, is closeness. The Torah says, in a marriage, no, not closeness, oneness. Closeness you have with your neighbor. So how do we get past things? That is the key definition of intimacy. Intimacy means I am bonded to you without anything between us. Not that we meet at a third point. It's not that we both love tennis. It's that we are bonded to each other, and the things will come and go.
Okay, let me jump in over here. Okay, so people are listening to you and they're reading this book, and they have this like epiphany, and they're saying, "This is too hard." So now what's going to happen? I mean, you've just turned around everything that people have been raised with as to what should be a proper relationship, and said, "No, we want you to do something else." So this actually sounds much harder than just trying to do what it says in all of the marriage counseling relationships books.
It does sound that way, but once you think about it, nature dictates that emotions be flighty, unpredictable. It's the nature of emotions. It's really what makes it exciting. Love is exciting because it's quite somewhat unpredictable. Moods switch, moods change, things upset you. You never know how you're going to feel tomorrow. So here's another shocker. And intuitively, it does make sense. There's no such thing as unconditional love. Everybody wants unconditional love. There's no such thing. If love is unconditional, it's not love anymore. It's not an emotion anymore. So if parents say to their child, I love you unconditionally, the child feels rejected. Because I love you unconditionally means you don't count. You don't matter. Because whichever way you act, no matter how you turn out, no matter what your personality or behavior is, I will love you anyway. Well, then fine, you're loving a fantasy. Very often when parents tell children we love you unconditionally, the child will purposely, maybe consciously or unconsciously, but the child will act out. They don't want it. They want you to react to them. So when I'm being lovable, love me. But when I'm not, I'm real. React to me. What is unconditional is the relationship itself. The fact. I am your mother. I will always be your mother. There's nothing you can do about that. There's nothing I can do about that. I'm your mother. And that's unconditional. You know how unconditional that is?
It doesn't change.
I am your mother even when I hate you.
Okay, so let me ask you then, Manus. You've written this book and The Joy of Intimacy. Have you counsel a lot of people? A lot of people come to you for advice. Have you given them this advice, and how did it work?
Overnight, the relationship changes for the better, and it's even if only one of them get it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Once you put things aside, you've opened the door to true intimacy. And that intimacy is something we desperately need naturally. And therefore, if you don't interfere, it's going to happen. You don't have to do anything to become one. You just have to remove the obstacles. And removing the obstacles is a little tricky because we think love is the connector when in fact it's getting between us. And the same is true with sexual pleasure. The pleasure should be that we have each other, not that we do something together.
That's an interesting
point.
So
if you ask your grandmother, or maybe your great-grandmother, what happens in the bedroom? Your grandmother would say, nothing. And you say, come on, tell me. And the grandmother says, nothing. And you think she doesn't want to answer your question, but she did answer your question, and it's the best answer in the world. A bedroom is a no-thing zone. Outside the bedroom, you can relate to each other through things, common interests, common disinterests. You can argue, you can disagree, but when it comes to the bedroom, no thing is allowed in a bedroom. A bedroom is just a place for him and her, and neither of them is a thing. Pornography makes people into things. Pornography also makes intimacy into a thing. And in a bedroom, no things are allowed. It's just them. There's no thing when two people are being intimate. They're beyond all things.
Okay,
they're getting pleasure from having each other, not from a performance, not from an event.
Mm-hmm. This is fascinating. We could go on, but unfortunately, the hour is coming to a conclusion over here. So, the book is called "The Joy of Intimacy." Manus Friedman, you have a website. People want to find out more and get in touch with you.
Yes, it's goodtoknow.org.
It's good to know.org. Not you tell me it's good to know. It's the whole thing. It's is part of this the website.
Yeah.
It's good to know. With no apostrophe, because you can't put apostrophe in a website.
No.
It's good to know.org, and people can get in touch with. Again, the book is The Joy of Intimacy, and written by Manus Friedman. We want to thank you so much for coming in. This is fascinating, Manus, and like I say, we could go on forever, and wish you continued success and look forward to the next time when we can have you on.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-8255.
6249800. That's 6249800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. I hope you enjoyed that. That was indeed quite informative, inspirational, and educational. We have up now, for your listening pleasure, this is Simcha Lehner. And the piece is called Mi Bonsi, which is sung at weddings. Let's listen in. Of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Herschel Finman here. We got some new Passover music coming up for you. This is the New York City Boys Choir singing Dayenu. It should be enough. Thank you.
Why go anywhere else when you can go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of Passover products in Michigan. One Stop Kosher carries thousands of kosher for Passover items, and over 100 Passover items are on sale now. They even have kosher for Passover pizza, hamburger buns, and cake. One Stop Kosher has the largest selection of kosher for Passover wines as well. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs.
Hey, Schulfman, here you're listening to the Jewish Hour. We got time for one more. I love parodies. This is 613 a cappella. This is Lion King Pesach.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Hey, Schulfman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. Tonight at One Stop, a proud sponsor of the Jewish Hour. They'll be having a wine tasting. We talked about this last week. 6:30 to 9:30 tonight, and also Wednesday night, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. You'll be featuring some wines that you should be featuring at your Passover Seder, and they'll be having those, and they'll be available, and you can talk to Simon Levine personally, tell him you heard about it on the Jewish Hour, and find out what you need to have at your Seder. Speaking of Seder, do you need Shmura Matzah? Everybody who is Jewish needs Shmura Matzah. So it just so happens that Jewish Ferndale is selling Shmura Matzah. We have various kinds, including a gluten-free oat variety, which is really reserved only for people who cannot tolerate gluten. And you can reach me at rabbifinman.com and contact us and talk about getting Shmura Matzah for you. We sell it by the pound, but if you just need two matzahs for your Seder, give me a call and we'll see what we can arrange. Any other announcements? Not on the top of my head. Oh, next week, next Sunday, if you're listening to the show next Sunday, I'm assuming that you're not Jewish, because it's a holiday and Jews refrain from doing things like listening to the radio during the holiday. So we'll just be playing music, but we'll be playing a wonderful assortment of music for your listening pleasure. That would be next week, and we will be back the following week, the day after Passover, at our normally scheduled time. So I think that's everything's good for you. May 6th, put this on your calendar. I think it's May 6th. I'm just going to pull that up. I should have that. It's the first Thursday in May, Jewish Ferndale. It's May 2nd, Jewish Ferndale, or is it May the 9th? Well, we'll set, when we get the date finalized, I'll talk about this one more. So I'm not sure what the date is. Okay, so we're talking about Passover. We can ask the question that if you're reading the Haggadah, which is the outline, and it's only an outline, I emphasize, for the Passover Seder, it's supposed to be a point, it's supposed to be used for developing discussions. And it says right there at the beginning, the more you discuss, the better it is. And it's not a prayer book where you just kind of go and read it off and whatever. It's supposed to be a discussion. So at the very beginning, it says, try and discuss it. So there's a recurring number, and that number is 4. And that number is 4 based on the verse where God said, I will take you out, I'll bring you out, I will redeem you, and I'll save you. And because of those 4 expressions of redemption, so the number 4 comes up all the time, especially the 4 cups of wine. Now, anybody who knows anything about Passover and the Seder knows there's only 3 matzahs. So if we have all these 4s that are going into the Passover Seder, how is it that we do not have 4 matzahs? Well, why is it that, and how is it that, and who is it that drinks wine? And when do they drink wine? Wine is such a special beverage, needs, requires special supervision to be kosher even. And you'll maybe want to pose these questions to Simon when you see him tonight at One Stop. Wine is consumed at special occasions, and it's consumed by people who can sit back and drink wine. Slaves don't drink wine. So here it is. The Jewish people were slaves, and at the very first Passover Seder, when they were still in Egypt, when they took the lamb and they slaughtered it and they put the blood on the door, they were commanded to eat the lamb roasted with bitter herbs, with matzah, and with 4 cups of wine, to indicate that they were free people. People drink wine, and you should find a wine that tastes good. You don't have to relegate yourself to stuff that tastes like cough syrup and gives you serious headaches and tummy problems. Just ask Simon Levine. It was the 4th time I mentioned his name. Matzah, on the other hand, is flat, tasteless, and is eaten to remind us, and it is called the bread of affliction. It's supposed to
remind us that even with everything, and how great an episode the Exodus of Egypt was, we still need to be humble before God. As we see, on the seventh day of Passover, which is a week from Friday, which commemorates the splitting of the sea, it says that the Malachei Hashoras, the ministering angels, began singing praises to God for doing such a wonderful thing like splitting the sea to redeem the Jews from Egypt. And God said, "Be quiet. The Egyptians are drowning. My children are drowning in your singing." So here it is, even though the underdog became the victors, but the Almighty said, the oppressors now are the victims. And they are indeed victims. They all got wiped out. So even though we are in a state of victoriousness, we are reclining, we're enjoying ourselves, but we're not eating bread. Bread tastes good. There's all kinds of things that go into bread, and there's all kinds of things you could put into bread. I am reminded of my grandmother for Purim, since we're still not that far away. She would make for her Purim meal, she would make a hamantash, which is a triangle cookie, yes, but she would make a very large hamantash, which was a challah. It was a bread. It was a loaf of bread, and it was shaped in the shape of a triangle, and she put poppy seed filling on the inside of it. It was wonderful, let me just tell you. My wife made it a couple of times for us, for our Purim Suda. So you can do anything with bread, and there's all kinds of things. Matzah. It's flour and water. And it's not even allowed to rise because it's humility. So what we're doing is we're using basically the bare minimum of what we need. We need to have lecha mishnah. We need to have two matzahs. But then we need to talk about the idea of the mitzvah of eating matzah. And that matzah gets broken. So we have like 2.5 matzahs even. Is what we're doing for, because as high as our victory was, we still have to remember we need the Almighty. It was the Almighty who did it. It wasn't us at all. And when we go throughout our day and we are challenged every single day and we find ourselves overcoming those challenges, we need to understand it's not our efforts, but it's the Almighty helping us. We have to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Hey, Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Go to rabbifinman.com. Right on the homepage is a contact us link. You can contact us and we'll contact you. Whatever your query or question or comment or criticism or any other thing, reason for contacting me, especially if you want shmura matzah, which you can only do that this week. After next week, it's all gone. So contact me at rabbifinman.com. You'll also find archived editions of the radio show. Past editions for almost 2 years are up there. The archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story, which you can go check those out. Classes as well. And you'll also find the very important donations page, which we're still in need of March and April now. And appreciate when you contribute, because then we'll be able to go May, June, July. We've been doing this now. We're in our 24th year, and we're totally and completely dependent on listener support like yourself. So go and rabbifinman.com, donations, click on a number, enter your information. It's all safe, secure through PayPal, and you can make it a monthly donation by just clicking monthly donation, and then you don't even have to worry about it, and it's a good thing.
Even if it's $5 a month, that's $60 a year. That's great. That's awesome. Don't like doing internet giving? Understood. Pop your donation of any denomination into an envelope or other mailable receptacle and mail it to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. And your help, of course, is greatly appreciated, needed, and you will derive great benefit from it, as you'll be able to listen to the show, and then the Almighty will bestow blessings upon you for contributing to this wonderful cause known as the Jewish Hour, which you've listened to for 52 minutes already. The story takes place involving somebody who was known as the B'nai Yisachar. The B'nai Yisachar was a prominent rabbi in 1850s, 1860s. When he was a little boy, he's like 10 years old, his father needed a job and only was able to hire himself out as a teacher for an innkeeper many miles away, such that it precluded him from coming home. And he stayed with this inn from after the high holidays, which will put you at, say, the end of September, middle of October, until just before Pesach, which would be just about now. And this was actually quite a common thing for people who lived out in the boonies, that instead of trying to get their kids to school, they homeschooled them with the help of a teacher. This winter was an arduous winter. At one point, it was just snowed. And it was snowing for days. And suddenly they heard, there's nobody coming to the inn. And they heard a knock at the door. And it was three peasants. And they said, we're lost, we're stranded, we need a place to stay until the storm blows over. And the innkeeper looked at them and said, do you have any money? And they said, no. So he closed the door. So the teacher was aghast. He said, they're going to die if you just let them go out. He said, are you willing to pay their bill? And he said, yes, I am. And this storm went on, so they invited them in. And these guys were very grateful to their host. And they lived it up on his account. They were snowed in for 2 weeks. They couldn't move. Which is something similar, I think, is going on right now in, like, Minneapolis, if I'm not mistaken. They just got, like, 10 inches of snow the day before yesterday. At the end of the season, when it was time to go home, so the innkeeper sat down and said, great, okay, let's figure things out. I owe you 40 rubles for your teaching my children. You owe me, for the taking care of those peasants for those 2 weeks, you owe me 43 rubles. So when you go home, come back and bring me the 3 rubles. I trust you. So he was devastated. He worked for an entire 6-7 months and wasn't getting paid for it. And only that, he owed it. But what could he do? He went home. As he came into town, he suddenly realized, what am I going to tell my wife? That I have no money? That I did it some kind of act of charity and got nothing for it? So he went into the first synagogue and sat, and he opened up a book and just said, I'll have to do it sometime. But right now, let me just calm my head. So in the meantime, word got around to the B'nai Yisachar, who was in school, that his father's back in town. So he requested permission from his teacher to leave school early so that he could go home and see his father, who hasn't seen him in 7 months. He got permission, ran home, ta, 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 that which is Yiddish for dad. Not there. His mother said, maybe he's on the road still. Maybe go look out on the road. So he went into every place. Did you see my father? Did you see my father? Did you see my father? Somebody said, yeah, I saw him go into that synagogue. So he went into the synagogue, and there's his father, and he's so happy. He throws his hands around his neck, and he's kissing me. He says, Dad, come on home. I want to show you all this stuff that Mom bought. She got me new shoes for the Passover, and I have a new Yom Tov outfit, and we have new clothes, and we have lots of yummy food for Passover, and we've got new this and new that. And all he's thinking is, oh, gosh. We're going to get thrown in the street. There's no being welfare. There's no food stamps. It was if you didn't pay your bills, you got thrown in the street and you got thrown in jail. He's really upset about this. So they're walking through the streets of whatever the name of this city was, located very many miles east of Grosse Pointe Farms. And as they're walking through these back alleyway streets, so a carriage came rumbling down. There wasn't enough room for them in the carriage. So they kind of like ducked into a doorway. And as the carriage passed them, a box fell off the back of the carriage. The father ran after the carriage. Wait, 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 you dropped your box, you dropped your box. But the carriage turned around the corner and disappeared. They brought the box home, they opened it, and inside the box was 43 rubles. Coincidence? I think not. Now let's give a little background. At the Seder, after the meal, and after the grace after meals, it is customary to open the door, the front door of the house. It's an indication that God is watching over us, that we're not afraid to open up our doors at, say, 2 o'clock in the morning, whenever it is. And there is a tradition that we are letting in the prophet Elijah to come and visit, to take a look and make note, taking like a scorecard, who is making a Passover Seder and report back to the Almighty. And we have a tradition that if you open up your door and there is someone there, you see somebody, that is the prophet Elijah. Oh, I've been doing that for 40-something years. Whenever I open the door, there's no one around ever. So I've never seen. So the 10-year-old, this B'nai Yisachar, was appointed to open the door for Elijah. He opened the door, and he said, "Dad, the wagon driver from that wagon with the box is standing at the door." Nobody else saw him. The father pulled the son over and told him that he is never allowed to tell this story, that he saw Elijah the prophet, until he's on his deathbed. And indeed, he kept his promise to his father. He became a great authority. He wrote, I think, I don't know, it's a 30-volume compendium on Torah insights called the B'nai Yisachar. He told this story to one of his students on his deathbed. That student told this story to Shalom Bear Gordon, who was a rabbi of Maplewood, New Jersey, who told it to me. That's going to do it for the show. We hope we have an chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you have a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have an awesome and dynamic Passover. Eat that matzah, drink that wine. Yes, indeedy. And we'll be back next week, but I'll be back in 2 weeks. Take care. אין אשר כתב, אין אותו שיר ישר שעובר אצלי במשך דור מתנות קטנות